right, find in your Bible, if you would, 2 Peter chapter number 1. Last week, we began a study of this book, the continuation from 1 Peter. And I don't know about you, but I am enjoying the books of 1 and 2 Peter. I am enjoying the truths that are in these books. I'm finding that they fit my life. All of us go through trials. All of us will face suffering. Some of that suffering will be because of our own negligence. Some of that suffering could be according to the will of God. We face persecution as we try to live godly and righteously in this present world. And we know those things will exist. And so 1 Peter was written to help us in the midst of our sufferings. And we said that 1 Peter was really an epistle of peace. And Peter had learned how, in the midst of difficult moments of life, to know a settled peace. He learned this, of course, after he was filled with the Spirit of God. Praise God, Peter grew in the Lord. As a matter of fact, that theme and that subject of growing in Christ really dominates his second epistle. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. We said that 1 Peter being an epistle of peace, 2 Peter is really an epistle of protection. In 1 Peter, he was writing, dealing with suffering. Here he's dealing with the seduction of God's people. And not the seduction in a way that we would think in a fleshly or sensual way, but a seduction away from the truth of the doctrine of the Word of God. And they were being seduced. In 1 Peter, he's dealing with the old lion as he's growling and showing his teeth. In 2 Peter, he's dealing with Satan as the liar. By the way, Satan is the father of all lies. We know that. John taught us that in John 8:44. 1 Peter, the attack came from without. 2 Peter, the attack is going to come from within the church, from within the membership, from within the body. 1 Peter, he was trying to keep them from being destroyed by fire. And 2 Peter, he's dealing with false teaching. 1 Peter, he's comforting. 2 Peter, he's cautioning. 1 Peter, he's dealing with suffering. 2 Peter, he's really focusing on their knowledge. And we talked about that. I even had you circle in the verses all the times that knowledge or knowing or remembrance is involved. This letter, 2 Peter, was written about a year and a half after 1 Peter. It was written to the same people. It was written with an urgency. If you look at chapter 1, verse number 14, Peter says, "Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me." We know from the book of John that Jesus told Peter, before Jesus ascended up, he told Peter that he would be crucified or that he would die that way. In verse number 15 of chapter 1, Peter says, "Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my," what's that word, class? "Decease." Okay, so he knows that his time is short upon the earth, but he has a desire and a goal. And the desire and the goal is found, of course, in verse number 12. He says, "I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things." Chapter 3, verse number 1, he talks about stirring up their minds, stirring up their remembrance. And so he's wanting to try as much as he can to focus their heart and their mind and their knowledge on the Word of God. And so in our lesson last week, we looked at the salutation. We said it was a securing salutation, the first four verses. And in these first four verses, he reminded them, of course, in verse number 1, that, hey, you belong to Jesus. You've obtained like precious faith with us. And so he wanted them to understand that their circumstances was not something that should dominate them, nor was it something that should discourage them as to their position in Christ. Now, I want to say that again, because we battle this as well. Sometimes we think that our circumstances, the difficulties of our life, if we're not careful, we'll let that demote us in our thinking as to where we relate with the Lord. I got news for you. Everybody in this room that knows the Lord is a sinner saved by grace. Amen? And so there's no respecter of persons. God loves you as much as he loves the person sitting next to you. He doesn't love the pastor any more than he loves any of the church people. He knows your life the same he knows my life. His power is available on your life the same as it is available on anyone's life. And so Peter's letting them know that, hey, you've obtained like precious faith with us, not through us. They received it through the righteousness of God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus. He went on to say that grace and peace would be multiplied to your life. Grace is the provision for every need. Peace for the inner need. He said that would come through the knowledge of God. We learned last week that Solomon taught us in Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 6, that that God's knowledge comes out of his mouth. Out of the mouth of God is knowledge. So if I want to know the knowledge of God, I know it through the person of Christ and through his word. Verse 3 says, he has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, and through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and to virtue. So everything we need in response to life and godliness is found in Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that he's able to bear the weight of my life. You and I were not created or made to bear the weight of our life. We bear one another's burdens as we take them to the throne of grace. But if you try to live your life like life depends upon you, you're going to have a hard road to go. But how freeing it is to realize that my life is hid in God with Christ. My life depends upon him. He is my life. He is my hope. He is all that I need. Peter went on to say that in order to enable that, there were given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be a partaker of the divine nature. And Peter wanted to let us know that we did not have to live according to the old lust or the old way. We could live in the light of that new nature. And so he was encouraging these folks in their salvation. Now, verses 5 to 11 will be our text tonight. And in verses 5 to 11, Peter begins to direct them and encourage them in the area of spiritual growth. Look at the very last verse of the letter, chapter 3, verse number 18. Because really and truthfully, this is the theme of this letter. But, what's that word? Grow. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, this is his protection to them. This is his encouragement to them. This is what he's yielding his last breath to tell them, is to make sure that you're growing in the Lord. And so, when you come to verses 5 through 11, Peter encourages them in this growth, and in this cycle of growth. He tells them in verse number 5 that it begins with, and beside this, giving all, what class? Diligence. Okay, now, verse number 5 takes them back to verse number 3. And Peter is saying, now, and because of this, or beside this, according as his divine power hath given us unto all things, okay, that pertain unto life and godliness, according to this divine power, and because we can be partakers of the divine nature of the Lord, because of this, give all diligence, give all heed, have some understanding here. I want you to use this divine nature. And then he says in verse number 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, what's that word? Add. Add means to increase. It means to grow. Now he says, add to your what? To your faith. Now, this faith is a faith that that's a saving faith. This is a faith that's vested upon the Word of God. This is a faith that is in us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, now add to your faith. He's talking about spiritual growth here. This is a growth that follows saving faith. And by the way, if you have saving faith, you should know growing faith. Okay. So he says, add to your faith. In that statement, he's putting a responsibility on who? On you. God, just grow me now. God's not going to grow you. You're to grow. You're to have that responsibility. You will grow and God will lead you and develop you, but you also have a responsibility to add or build upon your faith. And then in verse 5, 6, and 7, he lists seven things, seven jewels, seven steps or seven progressions of things that you and I are to add to our faith. And these really can be used as a measurement to our spiritual growth. Every one of these things ought to be a part of our life. Every one of these things ought to be something that we're growing in. I don't think you will ever reach a full capacity of any of these. But if you want to grow spiritually, you need to start with an understanding of verses 5, 6, and 7. Pastor, I just feel like I'm not growing in the Lord. Well, this is a great message for you tonight. Do not miss out on it. So he lists seven things. The first thing he says that you are to add to your faith is what, class? Virtue. Now, you've heard that word before. Verse number 3. It says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and to, say it, virtue. Okay, so virtue is a word that carries with it the idea of moral excellence. Moral excellence. It carries with it the idea of a shining or a praising, something that's worthy of praise. And so, as I have the platform of faith in the Lord, I've got saving faith, then that saving faith will support a moral growth or a moral excellence or a holiness or a spiritualness in my life. A virtue. Now, this virtue is not something per se that I can do in my flesh, but this is something that is available to me through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, who hath called me to glory and to virtue. And so you and I are to have virtuous lives. We're to have a moral excellence to our life. Nobody is perfect, but there ought to be an obedience. There ought to be the shunning of sin, seeing sin as exceedingly sinful. And so as my life is founded upon the Lord Jesus, his life is in me, then his life ought to shine in excellence through his child. If you believe with that, say amen. So you have a responsibility to shine and to have a virtue to you that would bring praise not to you, but to the Lord. Hold your hand here. Go to Philippians chapter number 4. I want to show you something. Philippians chapter 4. Don't miss this. I think this will challenge your thought process. Paul's writing here. Paul also is concerned about virtue in our lives. And so Paul says here in verse number 8, speaking to the church at Philippi, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Now watch. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, what are we to do? Think on these things. So on the platform of faith, Peter says, add to your faith virtue, a morality, an excellence, a shining as the life of Christ is in you and working in and through you. It ought to be to the praise of the glory of the Lord. And our minds are to be dominated in our thought process with this thought of virtue. Do you think about virtue throughout the day? Do you think about being virtuous throughout the day? Matter of fact, Paul said, this is the description of what is to dominate our thought process, things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of good report. If there be virtue or if there be praise, think on these things. I have found that as I fill my mind or I concentrate or think upon the things the Apostle Paul told us to, and I look for those things that are virtuous, I have a desire for that, for Christ to work that in and through me, then sin does become exceedingly sinful. Now, I do think this. I'm not sure that sin is exceedingly sinful to us as it is to the Lord. But we ought to hate sin just like he hates sin. I don't know about you, but I hate when I sin. Do you hate when I sin? I hate when you sin. You should hate when you sin, and I should hate when I sin. Don't you feel horrible when you sin? You know, when I sin, I don't know about you, but I face conviction. Somebody who tells me that they're a Christian and they can sin and they don't face conviction, my friend, you're not a Christian. The Bible talks about a battle and a war. Yeah, with my mind I may serve something, or in my flesh may serve something, but my mind, the law of God, there's a battle in my heart. And I have found that the more that I build upon the foundation of Christ and the more that he builds in my life, I want for my life to have a virtue that he has called me to and enabled me to, and I want my life to be praising unto him. All God's people ought to want that. And Peter says, now listen, I'm going to die and you're going to be left alone. And the wolves are coming, man. They're coming in. We're going to talk about this when we get to chapter 2. And he says, they're going to come with such intensity and such ferociousness that you're going to get devoured. And he says, but I got to stir you up so you understand that there should be a virtue to your life. I think anymore that you can go to church, and basically what we're doing is we're calling heathen people Christian. And I would submit to you that most of our churches, I hope not this church per se, but I would say if you took all the churches in America, they're mostly filled with unsaved people more than they are filled with saved people. Sad what's going on in our churches today. He says, add, if you would, virtue. Then he takes another step. Now he says, now if you're going to add virtue, you're going to have to add knowledge. Now, this knowledge isn't awesome. It's dealing here with a knowledge that's acquired by learning. This is a knowledge that's acquired by effort and experience. And he says here, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. He's talking about spiritual truth versus spiritual ignorance. He's saying, now you cannot grow and have spiritual ignorance. When it comes to spirituality, ignorance is not bliss. Okay? And what he's saying here is knowledge is a weapon. And the Word of God is the sword of God. And he says, you're going to have spiritual knowledge in order to withstand what's coming at you. You're going to have to know spiritual truth. You can't just be spiritually ignorant. And you can't just count on me to give it to you because I'm going to be dead, said Peter, not Tom. And by the way, just let me say something. If I'm the sole source of your spiritual instruction, that's sad. If the only time you're getting spirit, you're getting in the Word of God is if you're in this building, that's sad. Don't you enjoy getting alone with God in His Word? Don't you enjoy getting the truths of God's Word? And so you have to do this for yourself. Well, I'll just go ask Pastor what this means. Sometimes you can do that, but sometimes you got to study the Word of God. What happens if you don't have a pastor? What happens if you don't have an opportunity? What happens if you don't have these things? And anymore, it just text it to me, or just shoot it to me. No, God's people need to dig in God's Word. Amen? You have a responsibility as a man and woman to not be spiritually ignorant. I don't think we have a spiritually ignorant church. I think we have a church that is like Berean Christians. We're searching the Word of God. But Peter said, you add to your faith knowledge. By the way, that knowledge comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Number three, he says, now add to your virtue. There's a morality there. There's an obedience there. Add knowledge. This is learning by effort and experience and spiritual truths. But he also says, to your knowledge, add what, class? Temperance. Now, we know what temperance means. Temperance means self-control. Self-control. Temperance, you ought to write down in your notes, is found in Galatians chapter 5. It's at the latter end, probably around verse 22, 23. And temperance is a flavor of the fruit of the Spirit, okay? And so temperance is part of the fruit of the Spirit. And it is the ability to control self. Pastor, I don't have any self-control. Then you're not Spirit-filled. Now, I won't say that you're not saved, but there's a difference between being saved and being filled with the Spirit of God. Being saved means that I'm indwelt by the Spirit, I'm sealed by the Spirit of God, I'm kept by the Spirit of God. Being filled with the Spirit of God means that I'm being controlled or led by the Spirit of God. That I'm empty of myself and I've submitted myself to His leadership. So, okay, God, I'm your child, but I want your way. I want your Spirit to lead and control me. So I submit myself to the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. And then the Spirit of God takes control of my life. And when the Spirit of God has control of my life, I realize that He brings to me self-control. Well, Pastor, I eat too much. Well, gluttony is a sin. It's a sin. Well, Pastor, I have a lust problem. It's a sin. I just can't control my flesh. Look me right in my four eyeballs. Neither can I. If you think that I've got some kind of mud that's different than you, that I can control my flesh, you're out of your mind. But here's what I've learned. I have learned that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. So I hate my flesh. What do you mean, Pastor? You're handsome. Why would you hate yourself? No. You got that just now, didn't you, Jim? I hate that natural man that's after the image of Adam. And I'm afraid of him. So what I do is I get on my face and I say, now God, Paul taught me in the book of Romans that I've been delivered from that. I can reckon upon your power. I can yield my members as instruments to righteousness. And you can fill me. And God, you bring to me a control in my life. When I yield that, I know wonderful victory. Right. And so Peter says, now guys, I'm going to be dead. I can't have you over here just being out of control. You need to add to your faith temperance. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Number four, to your temperance, add patience. Now, patience is that act whereby we're not in a hurry, carries with it a settledness. Hold your hand here, and let me give you what I think is a great definition of patience. Go to Romans chapter 12, if you would, please. Brother Nelson Fernandez could stand up and teach this verse. He's been teaching it in his class. Romans chapter 12. Look, if you would, at verse number 2. Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your what? Of your mind. Now watch, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect what? Will of God. Now, when you take what Paul said about the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, and you come, hold your hand, but come back, if you would, to your passage here in Peter. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 19. He talks also about suffering. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. And so Peter is saying, now, when you add to your faith a virtue or a morality that Christ has called you to, or a holiness to that he will do in and through you, and then you add on top of that virtue, you add knowledge by experience, and then you add on top of that self-control, then you put on top of that patience. Patience to do what? Patience to trust the will of God. Patience to see the will of God as good and acceptable and perfect in your life. Now, these folks were headed for some difficult times, but he wanted them to be settled and to have patience. Help me with the verse. If any man lack wisdom, okay, so you go to work tomorrow and they fire you. In our humanity, first thing we do is we equate that with negativity. Pastor, I lost my job. The devil's really after me. Maybe. Or maybe you lost your job because God wanted you to lose your job. Well, Pastor, we got this problem just dumped in our lap, and so we're going to go and we're going to do this. Well, how do you know this is what you're supposed to do? See, we're so quick to think that we just know what God's will is without asking God. So Peter's saying, now listen, add some patience. Don't be in a hurry. Make sure you know what God's will is. Make sure you understand. Ask for wisdom. Make sure you're following and you're not getting ahead of the Lord. By the way, I let me just say this. I have seen more Christians hurt themselves by responding in a hurry than what the actual problem really is. We need patience. Number five, he says, add to temperance patience, and to patience a godliness. All right, well, godliness is to be devout. Godliness is the understanding of pleasing to God. A godliness is a reflection of his character. So my life is to be godlike. Not that you're God, but that the life of Christ is reflectant in my life. And I want to make sure that every area of my life, and I'm adding godliness to the platform of faith. And so where do I find godliness? Well, come back over here to verse number 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and what class? Godliness. Through the knowledge of who? Of him, of Christ. So as I spend time with the Lord, and as I'm filled with God and filled with the Spirit of God, then a godliness is building in my life. He said, add to godliness brotherly kindness. This is the spirit of goodwill. When you're talking about spiritual growth, Peter said one of the gems or jewels or progression of spiritual growth is that I have a brotherly kindness to my life. I don't know about you, but I need my brothers and sisters in Christ. If you do, say amen. And there ought to be a sweet spirit of brotherly kindness. You need to add that to your life. And then lastly, he said, add to brotherly kindness charity, or add to that love. You ought to study 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and you ought to study the description of love there and know the depth of that. So if I'm going to grow spiritually, and if Peter is writing this is an epistle of protection, especially against false teachers, which I think are already in the church of Jesus Christ today. And if they're not in the church, they're definitely on the television. Amen. So he said, add to your faith virtue, that's your responsibility. Add knowledge, that's your responsibility. Add temperance, that's your responsibility. Add patience, add godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. Now, look why he says these are important. Verse number 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so what is he saying? He says, as you grow that you'll in the Lord, you'll know the richness of the Lord. You'll be able to bear fruit in your life, and you'll have a life that's filled with joy. You'll have a life that God is able to use, and you won't know a barrenness, nor will you be unfruitful. Verse 9 says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his what, class? His old sins. So Peter says, even a believer can you can be a believer and not grow in a way that you should grow, but you're blinded. You forgot what God did for you. You forgot his great power. Verse number 10, he says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. This doesn't mean that you can save yourself. This is just evidence that you are saved. And for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. He's not talking about falling from salvation. You can't lose God's salvation. But he's talking about knowing spiritual victory and spiritual success. Verse number 11, he talks about having a blessing in the kingdom of God as far as a reward there. And he's trying to encourage these folks that spiritual growth is vital and important. Something that's not growing is not living. Got to be careful about that. And he's talking about the riches and the depths of it. So I want to ask you a question tonight. Is your life virtuous? Are you growing in spiritual truth? Do you have self-control? Do you understand patience? Do you have a godliness and reflection in your life? Do you have a brotherly kindness, a spirit of goodwill? Do you have an agape love, a charity that's a sacrificing and serving love? These are things that you should be growing in. Well, Pastor, how am I able to do that? You're able to do that on the premise of the divine power of God. Praise his holy name. I don't know about you, but I love growing in the Lord. I find that he's fresh and powerful and wonderful. And the more that I learn about him, the more that I love him. And so I would encourage you to add to your faith. All right, let's have our prayer. We'll take our prayer.